We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Insider is sponsored by Lens. Welcome to the Sports Insider with Dan Cabal. Presented by PT Solutions. Be unstoppable with the latest sports news on and off the field. This is the Sports Insider with Dan Cabal on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, hi and all. Welcome to the show. What a beautiful, hot, dry day we have unfolding here high above Colony Square in Midtown. Good to have you on board. Great to have you along. What a show we have for you today. We're going to do a little Stanley Cup preview. Yeah, there is that Stanley Cup starting on Monday. How about the NBA? Wow. Toronto. Did you see that coming? After going down 0-2 in Milwaukee, coming back with 2 in Toronto, and then the pivotal game 5 in Milwaukee, back in Milwaukee, Kawhi Leonard showing why he is certainly a super stud. Boy, the job he's done on Giannis has been impeccable. Man, Giannis has been held to what? It's crazy. He's been held to like 35% shooting, 4 assists, 5 turnovers, 3 free throws in the minutes in which Kawhi is covering him. That is crazy stuff. Atlanta, big win last night. Braves, they're hot. They are hot. 3 in a row now. Fulte looking good. 6 strong innings. Dansby with 2 jacks. Freddie Freeman homered. And the bullpen was solid again. Bullpen's been pretty good since the implosion against the Giants, that 3-run ninth inning. So far, so good. I still think they need a closer. Jeff Schultz will be by to talk about the Braves and all things Atlanta sports. An excruciating loss for your Five Stripes last night in Salt Lake City. 2-1, a Real Salt Lake crushing late goal. What a strike, though. Deep into injury time, Jefferson Severino, wow, about 30 feet away. Great strike, tough loss, and that's back-to-back one-goal defeats now for your Atlanta United. So as they prepare for Wednesday versus Minnesota United FC, pregame 6:30 here, 7 o'clock kick, but great game last night, just a very excruciating loss. Very excited about the Braves, though. So excited that I watched that entire 13-inning game the other day. And I wanted to see the replay. So I watched the replay on Fox yesterday just to see Austin Riley's home run again. What, 482 feet? Man, is that lineup ever stretched nicely now with Austin Riley in the fold. Some tough outs in that Braves lineup. Very deep, very powerful. So all things good right now with your Atlanta Braves. As I mentioned, Monday we start the Stanley Cup Final. I think it's been about 111 days since Boston's won a title, so you have to feel for those people up there. One of those people is Billy Jaffe. We used to hang out a little bit, then he booted me out of the club. But he's kind enough to stop by and talk about the Stanley Cup Final. Billy, good morning.
Good morning, young man. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for getting up. How many cups of coffee have you had?
You know, I've had one, and I wish I could say that I had to pop up at 8:01 Eastern time just for you, my long-lost friend, but I'm old now. I don't know if you realize this, but I hit the 50 club. You know, you knew me when I had full head of hair and young, and now I'm up at 6, 5:30 all the time. You know, go figure.
Hey, I'm up at 2:40, but that's a whole nother story. Hey, all right, it starts Monday. Is this too simplistic, Billy? If the games are called tight, in other words, penalties are called the way you would expect them to be called, it favors Boston. If they're not, if the physicality is allowed to maybe be at a higher level than you may expect, then it favors the Blues. Is that too simplistic?
Well, I think I get the point that you're making because of the Bruins' special teams, in particular their power play, has been lights out 34% through the playoffs.
Yeah, yep.
So I get the premise. But don't forget that Columbus tried to run the Bruins out of the building, too, with high-level physical play. And two things happened. One, there were some penalties that were called because of that. And two, that's tiring. That's really tiring to have to do every game. And the Bruins showed once they got their legs going, they could handle that physical play. See, these aren't the big bad Bruins of yesteryear. They're just not. They're not from when young Danny Kamal, not Dan, but Danny, when he was young, grew up watching the Bruins. They were big and bad. Now they're not that way anymore. They've got big guys, but their defense really and their zone exits, Dan, are outstanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
That's the key. So, I mean, I know what you're trying. I know what you're saying there. Maybe it is a little too simplistic. You know, the other thing is, we just go game to game now, and sometimes, and I don't think this is a great thing, we don't know what's going to be called.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you got to take that into consideration as well, partner, that, one ref sees one thing, the other sees it another. But if it becomes a special teams game in general, yes, to go back to your original thing, that does favor the Bruins.
Chatting with Billy Jaffe, he's an analyst for NHL Network and New England Sports Network, so he's got a foot in the pool here, the Bruins, but also covering the league league-wide all season long. Billy, the Blues, more credit for saving the season go to Binnington or Berube?
It has to go to both, and I know that sounds like a lame answer, but the thing that you see with Binnington is that he gets those results right away. Let's face facts. Dan, if he comes in and he doesn't win right away, remember they gave him an opportunity because Jake Allen, at the time it was Chad Johnson who was the backup, they were bad, okay? Just like the rest of the team, but really Jake Allen, they kept hoping their starter that would become a real legit starter, and it just didn't work. So they finally said, let's give Binnington a chance. He was not their first choice, but they ended up giving him a chance. So he wins, so he gets results. But the team was starting to turn, like it was that cruise ship that, you know, it isn't like a speedboat that turns super quick. It takes a long time to turn around.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Craig Berube did. He came in and maybe didn't win right away, but he laid the foundation for that turn to begin.
Did it begin with defense, Billy?
Well, defense was number two, Dan. The first thing was accountability. Craig Berube, who you know, and the guy whose nickname is Chief, has, I believe it's still the most fighting majors ever in the history of the National Hockey League. And the reason I bring that up is because nothing phases this guy. Meaning, you know, nothing got Craig Berube nervous. I mean, if it did, we didn't see it overtly. But he would go into, you know, hostile territory, so to speak, and square off against the opponent's toughest player two or three times a game. It didn't bother him. He was still, yeah, okay, whatever. And that team, he also needed his team to feel the same way and also to be accountable. Too many players on the Blues, Dan, did not know their roles, which sounds funny, but you say, well, these guys are pros. They should be fine. Well, you know, they're humans, too. There are a lot of moves made in the offseason, and some of these guys didn't know where they fit, both, especially the veterans, but even the new guys. So Craig Berube brought that in, and he helped define that more. And again, that sounds simplistic, but it's true. It's no different than running a good company. You want to know where everybody stands, so to speak, in their office. So that's where it started. Throw in Jordan Binnington winning, and therefore that helped really accelerate the turnaround.
Chatting with Billy Jaffe, he's an analyst for NHL Network and the New England Sports Network. You can follow him on Twitter at BJAFFE, Frank E. The Stanley Cup starts Monday in Boston. First time since, I think, 1990, the Stanley Cup final has started in Boston. Do the Bruins, Billy, have a chip on their collective shoulder? Because some people are saying, well, yeah, Tampa Bay's gone, Washington's gone. No wonder you're in the final.
It's funny, you know, some guys locally here in Boston, sports radio, were saying, this is the easiest path to the final. And I'm like, first of all, who the heck cares? You're in the final. That's the first thing. They can't control who their opponents are. And if Tampa was that good, I mean, Tampa was great, right? But you know, look, they would have won. But Columbus was that much better when they played them. So Bruins had to then beat Columbus, the team that beat Tampa. So you're like, holy smokes. Do they have a chip on their shoulder? I don't feel that. I feel that they have a determined attitude. They have amazing leadership between Zdeno Chara, Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, David Backes, former St. Louis Blue captain.
Yeah, 35-year-old without a ring yet.
Exactly. So that's what they have. And, you know, I did the last series for in-game for the NHL radio, Westwood One.
Yeah.
And I was down low and, you know, down at the benches and at the ringside and watching. And, you know, Dan, you know this. You can tell there's certain looks, certain feel. There's a vibe that you get when you know a team. And I had that vibe watching him. In particular, Patrice Bergeron in game four, when he came out with no Zdeno Chara because he was injured, took a game off reluctantly, but then Bergeron came out there in his first two shifts. I said to the guys upstairs, I said, the Bruins aren't losing this game.
Wow.
Because the way that Bergeron was determined, diving, blocking, leading, he's an all-time great player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer,
yep.
He's Bergeron.
Yep.
And he wasn't going to let the team down. And see, to me, it's not about a chip on the shoulder. It's about a determination. Bruins don't give a heck who they played. I think all the adversity that the Bruins had earlier in the year, at one point in November to December, they had five of their top six defensemen out for an extended, not a week, but an extended period of time. Bruce Cassidy and his staff and the players stayed above 500 in that time. So they've been through a ton of adversity, and I think that's the attitude that they have.
40 seconds left. Tell me if the Jordan Binnington playing goal for Providence Bruins last year is a factor at all, and tell me who you think is going to win.
I do think it can help. I don't think it can hurt the Bruins. Mike Dunham, you remember Dunny from the Atlanta Thrash?
Yeah, of course.
Dunny, the minor league goaltending coach for the Bees, worked with him. Bob Asenza knows him a little bit too. So, yeah, there's a little book on him. That helps. Does it make all the difference in the world? No, but maybe a little nugget or two. Who doesn't like a good nugget, right? I mean, in pre-scout, DK. So that's that. You want my choice?
I do.
This part of the interview?
I know.
I took the Bruins when the playoffs began, and I will continue. I've continued to take the Bruins. And I will take the Bruins in six games. If they get their speed game going, maybe five. But if they don't, six games. If they don't get their legs going, their speed game, Danny, and they play St. Louis straight ahead, meaning face-to-face, the Bruins will have trouble. And then the Blues will go in seven. But I'll take Bruins in six. That's what I start with.
Always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Enjoy the playoffs. Send me a couple of pictures or something, you know, just for the taste of it.
We can do that. We'll selfie you to death. You'll love that.
Thanks for your time, Billy.
See you later, Dan.
Have a great weekend. That's Billy Jaffe, analyst, NHL Network and New England Sports Network. We're coming right back. Jeff Schultz is up next talking Atlanta sports. How about them Braves? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is the Sports Insider with Dan Cabal. Presented by PT Solutions. Call Dan now at 404-741-0929 or text at 22929. Sports Insider with Dan Cabal. Presented by PT Solutions Physical Therapy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, welcome back. We are also brought to you by Georgia Urology. Find confidence in the right partner for your health with Georgia Urology on the web at gaurology.com. Pleased to welcome in good friend, great writer, Jeff Schultz from The Athletic. He is a columnist there and also in tune with everything Atlanta sports. Good morning, Schultzy.
Good morning, Daniel. I like the transition from a urology at to a spot. That's good.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
You wouldn't have done that 20 years ago.
Hey, it's an older guy thing, you know? I knew you'd relate. Hey, Schultzy, the Braves are 8-2 in their last 10. What's not to like? Even the bullpen looks a little bit more settled since the Luke Jackson meltdown in San Francisco. But I'm guessing you still say, as you did in the column this week, this team needs a bona fide closer.
Yeah, Dan, absolutely. I mean, the lineup is great.
Yeah.
And I think we've always known that the lineup was going to produce runs, and they continue to do that. And particularly like last night, Dansby Swanson hits a couple home runs, and you know him doing what he's done at his level is a huge boost. And then Austin Riley coming up, and you know you never know sometimes how young guys are going to do as the season goes on. But you know whether he settles down or not, I mean they're going to produce runs. And then I think then you go to the pitching and. Fulton Ewitch has done really well the last couple of
two starts though,
his last couple starts. He still has that bone spur in his elbow, so I'd say if there's one sort of asterisk to put on it for the rest of the season is to make sure that that doesn't flare up again, because if it gets really bad, honestly, it might be one of those things that need surgery after the season. So that's something they're going to have to watch. You have two really great young pitchers right now in Mike Soroka and Max Fried. The question is, does that continue in a pennant stretch, or is this because they're young? You know, you don't want to count on those guys, and that gets back to, well, do you need a veteran starter? And to your question about the bullpen, they're doing very well right now. Like you said, except for the one game in San Francisco, he's done very well. But I still look at it, and I still see a lot of uncertainty. I don't see a lot of depth. Sean Newcomb has helped since he's gotten in there, since they brought him back as a reliever. He doesn't like the role, but he's done really well, and he will stay there, I would assume. But, yeah, I still would like to see more certainty in there. Obviously, everybody mentions Craig Kimbrell. But, you know, right now it's late May. Everyone says you start paying attention to standings after Memorial Day, right? So I guess we'll start paying attention to standings.
Exactly.
But we'll see how they stand up.
Chatting with Jeff Schultz from The Athletic. You can reach him on Twitter at Jeff Schultz. ATL, Schultz spelled Schultz. Do you know when Darren O'Day is coming back? I know he started throwing about a week and a half ago. Any idea, do they have a time frame for him?
Last time I was there when Brian Snitker was asked about him, it like wasn't really anywhere close. So if he just started throwing, usually that's going to take a while to work up his arm strength, even though he's a reliever, not a starter. So I don't know. I wasn't in St. Louis last night, so I don't know if I'm not on this trip, so I don't know if he's been asked about it recently. But generally speaking, that's going to take at least a few weeks, particularly with a guy who has been out so much. Remember, he was on the disabled list last year when they acquired him. So, it's going to be a while, and they'll take it very slow with him.
Yeah, the Darren O'Day thing, that's one question. The other question, how realistic Craig Kimbrell? Do we know what his contract demands are, asking price is now? Do we think it's realistic? I'm guessing the Cubs, with all their money, maybe in better shape or more willing to go after Kimbrell. What say you?
Well, I mean, you know, anytime you have a contract situation like this, Dan, no matter what the sport is, you know, everyone says, every general manager or sometimes even other agents say, you're asking for way too much money. And the bottom line is it only takes one team. And, you know, you mentioned the Cubs, and that's one team that obviously would overpay. They've done it before. They overpaid Jason Hayward. As much as I love Jason Hayward, they gave him a ridiculous contract, but they were convinced he was going to make them better, and that's all they really cared about. I still think Craig Kimbrell would like to come back to Atlanta, but he and or his agent have just stuck on this thing on a multi-year contract. I think the Braves would sign him today for a very high dollar figure, actually, if it was a one-year deal, much like they did with Josh Donaldson. But they're not going to give him a three-year deal. They, I think, could be talked into a two-year deal if the numbers they thought were somewhat sane. But that's why there hasn't been a deal. I know there's been a lot of talk about the draft pick. I suppose at this point now, you wait until after the draft because you won't have to give up a pick.
Yeah, it's just a few more days, right?
That is just a few more days.
Yeah.
But over the last several weeks and a couple of months, I really don't think the draft pick was as big a deal or as major a factor as everybody has made it out to be. It has been a factor, but really the major factor has been the money. I mean, I think if Alex Anthopoulos really liked the contract he could get Kimbrell out, I think he would sacrifice the draft pick. It's really all about the money. And after the draft, it's still going to be about the money. So then the question becomes, well, how much is it worth it to you? I think it should be worth a lot to it. It should be worth a lot to the Braves, honestly. I think they have a window to compete really for a World Series if they're built, you know, if they have a strong bullpen, and which obviously impacts the starting rotation. So, and vice versa. I mean, hypothetically, if you got a starting pitcher, that impacts the bullpen because one of those guys from the starting rotation now goes down to the bullpen. So,
yeah, I'm with you. Give me a veteran starter, a 4 or 5 guy, and Kimbrel in the bullpen. I think this team is competing for the World Series, if not this year, then next. So I'd love to see Kimbrel on a 2-year deal. Hey, Jeff, we have our buddy Joe on the line for you with a question about the Braves. Go ahead, Joe.
Austin Riley has really gotten off a hot start since getting the call to Atlanta. How impactful can that be in terms of lengthening the Braves lineup?
That's a great question, Joe, and I think you're right. I mean, the whole lineup is full of hitters, and adding a bat like Riley, who 2-run homer the other afternoon against San Francisco. Huge hit. Braves come back, win in 13. Schulte, the question is, what has Riley's impact been in terms of lengthening the lineup? Almost an embarrassment of riches right now offensively, right?
Yeah, oh, God, absolutely. Because really, honestly, I think the first thing is now what it might enable you to do is leave Ronald Acuna as a leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
Which he obviously had, and I don't know if you were talking about this after I get disconnected, but I mean, he obviously had a major impact at the top of the lineup last year. That's really kind of when the team started to take off last year. And now you don't feel as compelled to have to move a power hitter down to the cleanup spot. Because obviously Austin Riley is a classic cleanup hitter or five hitter or whatever. So
yeah.
That to me is the biggest difference right now in terms of what you're allowed to do with your lineup. There really is no rest with the lineup right now, particularly you have a guy like Dansby Swanson down hitting low. So, it's Brian Snitker's enjoying making the lineup card these days.
Hey, how about Dansby batting second yesterday between Acuna and Freeman? That's got to be nirvana, right? I mean, how many fastballs are you going to see there?
Yeah, again, I mean, I think he's a guy you can move all the way around, and depending upon who's hitting well. I mean, Dansby's hitting well, you move him up. Albies, if he's struggling, you move him down.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh Donaldson, you know, maybe not doing what some people thought, so he's not as high as some people. So, I mean, yeah, again, this is the kind of lineup now where you can really go by feel, you really go by opponent. You don't have to be set with the same guys in order all the time. They're that good right now. And again, I don't think you can, as much as, you know, managers tend to get second-guessed on batting orders and lineups, I don't really think there's any way you can go wrong right now.
Jeff Schulte, ladies and gentlemen. Schulte, really appreciate your time. Read him, please, The Athletic. It's a great read, a very reasonable subscription, and you can reach him there, and you can also you can read him there and reach him on Twitter at Jeff Schulte, ATL. Really appreciate your time always, my friend. Thank you. Have a great holiday weekend.
You too, Daniel. Take care.
Thank you. That's Jeff Schulte from The Athletic. I am a very happy subscriber to The Athletic. The writing is fantastic. It covers all sports, all cities. It's one of the greatest things, I think, that's happened for sports fans, and really appreciate catching up with Jeff Schulte. Braves are playing very well, 3 in a row now, 8-2 in their last 10. The lineup is deep. The pitching has been very solid, at least the starting pitching. Giving the Braves minimum 5, usually 6 or 7 strong innings of late. So, just a game and a half back now of the Phillies. And keep in mind, the Braves had allowed 14 comeback wins by opponents, 7 in the final at-bats. So if they clean that up, who knows? Hey, we're back. It is Dr. Dale Yake next from PT Solutions Physical Therapy. Third segment, Sports Insider, right around the corner. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's roll the highlights.
Now back to more of the Sports Insider with Dan Cabal. Presented by PT Solutions on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, welcome back. It is the Sports Insider presented by PT Solutions Physical Therapy. And Dr. Dale Yake is with us on assignment this week, so we've got him via phone. Dr. D, let's start the weekend off with this fantastic news. I don't know if you've been following the 35-year-old woman who went missing on a hike in Hawaii like more than 2 weeks ago. She's been found alive and well.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I did not follow the story, Dan, but what I have followed is in the first segment. I've been around you for, 4 years now on this show?
Yeah,
and I don't call
you.
I don't call you DK. I got to start calling you DK, I've learned. Yeah. It kind of reminds me, you remember the old show? Well, you would know. You work for CNN and still do. The old show with Fred Hickman and who was on there with him?
Nick Charles,
right? Yeah. CNN Sports Tonight. That probably started. That was like the first sports show, right?
That was a really good show.
1979,
yeah. 80. Yeah.
Good show.
Yeah.
That's how we all got our highlights back then.
Yeah.
So from now on, it's DK.
Yeah, but you know, DK, when you spell it D-E-C-A-Y, has kind of a connotation I'm not that fond about, but that's okay. I'll answer. I'll answer for sure.
Keeping an eye on the kids, Dan.
Yeah.
We're talking about ankle sprains. I happened to be out at a sporting event earlier this week and saw a young man sprain his ankle about 8 years old, and we got to take those serious, and I'm going to be here today talking to parents about when they should go see a physician or a therapist or somebody to check on an ankle sprain.
Why is that, Dr. D? Is it more acute in a younger person because of the bone growth and that kind of thing, or
can it be chronic? You and I always talk about it always sets an athlete up for injuries elsewhere.
Got it. Yeah.
A poorly functioning ankle, like Julio Jones, for example, poorly functioning ankle over the life of an athlete creates problems, whether it be at the knee or other foot injuries. So if you're a parent out there and you're driving around and you've got a kid with an ankle sprain, if the child can't bear weight after a day, that's time to go get a physician to look at it. If there's significant swelling, of course, sometimes these are fractures, Dan, so if there's looks like there's bony misalignment, they need to go. If there's tenderness to touch along the ankle, it needs to be looked at, and especially if there's change in color, numbness, we need to have that looked at because it can be a little bit more serious and be a little longer in the recovery process. So don't let those minor ankle sprains just be minor ankle sprains. We need to get them checked earlier.
And what do you recommend, complete healing before the youngster goes back on the field or the pitch or wherever?
Yeah, not to be conservative. I think athletes can do straight-line sport activity, Dan. But obviously to return back to, for example, running to first base, hitting a bag, playing lateral sports, basketball, lacrosse, sometimes you need a little longer recovery period. And we need to give young athletes the time to be highly functioning before they go back to the court or field. And I think that's not trying to be conservative. I'm just trying to look at the long-term performance of the athlete over the life of their sport.
Absolutely. Chatting with Dr. Dale Yake. He's the founder and CEO of PT Solutions Physical Therapy, the presenting sponsor for this show. I want to talk to you about OTAs. You know, it's great. You get all the guys out there, organized team training. I don't know. Steven Means probably has a different perspective about it. The defensive end of the Falcons, he blows out his Achilles tendon.
Yep.
I mean, I get why these athletes want less time doing what they do because of the physicality of American football.
Well, it's under a great deal of scrutiny right now, Dan, about what OTLs mean. Last year, there were 23 major injuries on the 2018 season. This year, we've had 7 injuries. Reuben Foster tore his ACL as well. Close friend of mine, a place for San Diego Chargers, Hunter Henry, tore his ACL last year in OTAs and was out for most of the season. So it's something that we in sports performance and in physical therapy, athletic training are looking at is, these are the first on-field sport activities of the athlete for that season. Does that mean we need to change the activity? Do we need more warm-up? Some argument is going on in the NFL right now is that these athletes need more time on the field than what they currently get. So there's an argument in reverse.
Okay.
That you didn't see these injuries as much years past when they were allowed to have more on-field activity.
I wanted to ask you a question about Achilles tendon. It seems to happen more in younger people. I don't know. If I'm wrong, tell me. Late 20s, mid-30s to mid-30s. Can that vulnerable age, can something be due prevention-wise to decrease the chances of it?
Well, I'm one of those folks, Dan. I tore mine at 34 years old, racing my daughter in my backyard. So wow. I had that surgery for that. So it is a very common injury in the early 30s. It's when we start to see a somewhat degree of shortening of the tendon, and there is a pathologic process that's going on there. So prevention means that you obviously keep the length, you perform some activities that would allow you to prevent the injury through stretching and warm-up and appropriate activity warm-up. So those are the things that will prevent it. But, yes, very common injury. And obviously we're dealing that with some degree with Kevin Durant. They're not calling it an Achilles tendon rupture, Dan, but most likely he tore one of the other non-Achilles tendons, maybe the plantaris in his calf. It's still lingering now and leading to maybe him out of the finals now as we look at Kevin Durant in the finals.
Wow. That's news to me. And, yeah, seems like they're doing fine. Hey, by the way, Klay Thompson not being on any of the NBA's three All-NBA teams, and what, it cost him like $30 million?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy, isn't it? I mean,
it is crazy.
As a Celtics fan, I would say Kyrie, you're out, Thompson, you're in, or even Kemba Walker, if they're going.
Well, I have great respect for you writers and journalists, but at the same time, I don't think it should be determining All-Star teams or All-NBA teams
for
compensation, right?
I agree.
Should the public be voting for All-Star if it's going to mean compensation? So change the contract or change the voting, one of the two. The other thing I got to mention, Dan, is the NFL stance now on some of these historic drills that have been involved.
Yeah, the Oklahoma drill, yeah.
Yeah, not just the Oklahoma drill. Obviously, where you line up a lineman, a defender, and an offensive running back and a linebacker or a defensive back to be inside cones. It's also the famous drill that I got some concussions from in college was bull in the ring. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
I've seen film of that. Others. That's barbaric.
It is barbaric. I mean, obviously, some folks that are still coaching and maybe listening to me today, is that's what creates a man, right? They want to know who can tolerate hitting and do all that. I get it. I did it in my day, too. But what we do know is that the preponderance of head injury or head impact, it leading to long-term damage, is greater and more significant in those activities. And that's the stuff that we're trying to do to make sports safer. And kudos to the NFL by publishing it and making it a news story this week, because the hope is that that'll trickle down to the other levels of the sport.
That would be fantastic. I want to ask you, Jeff Schultz was saying Mike Foltynewicz still dealing with a bone spur in his elbow. How do you pitch around that, and how long before it needs to be addressed?
Yeah, it's a very difficult thing to pitch around, Dan. Obviously, you see that in the changes of its mechanics, right? He did win this week, obviously first win last night. But at the same time, I think it's something that needs the appropriate amount of management. It may not require surgery. They've obviously rehabbed him over a significant period of time. Actually, his mechanics looked pretty good in this last start. So, it's something you got to watch: mechanics, pitching velocity, amount of duration in throws, and how they manage him as they go through the season. And is it something that he needs to be put back on injured reserve? It's a fascinating process, Dan. We don't talk about the science of injury management enough on this show. I could probably elaborate for the whole hour of the show on all the experts now that weigh in and the varying opinions that are going on with regard to just that one injury.
Wow. Yeah, it's fascinating stuff for me, that's for sure. One quick last question. Have you ever run on a basketball court and given the head coach of a team a neck rub like Drake did?
Yeah, I'm not too much on giving the old coach a neck rub there, Dan, but kudos to Drake. You know, he has the full carte blanche. He can do whatever he wants to. Coach Bud needs to be focused on who shoots beyond Giannis, right?
Yeah,
as opposed
seriously.
To who's getting the neck rub. So
yeah, forget about
I
Drake.
Think Coach Bud's got his hands full.
Thank you, Dr. D. Have a great holiday weekend.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Take care. That's Dr. Dale Yeager, founder, CEO, PT Solutions Physical Therapy. We're coming right back, Sports Insider, before we hand it off to Chris and Harper on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, back with more Sports Insider. Here's Dan Cabal, presented by PT Solutions on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, thanks to Kent for the great work today. What did I learn this week? I think Brooks Koepka is likable. Really, stay with me here. Maybe it's just me, but my perception of Koepka has changed. Yeah, I used to yell at him about those curmudgeonly interviews. You know, they wouldn't talk about him, even though he won all the majors because everyone loved Tiger. But I said, stay classy, stay gracious. That was before Sunday, the near meltdown of historic proportions. You know, four straight bogeys on the back nine while Dustin Johnson was playing video game-like golf on a course with conditions that were making most of the game's greats look like, remember Uncle Benny when he begged you to join the group with his borrowed clubs and his one slice here, one hook there? Yeah, that's what it looked like. But then Koepka stepped up to the 15th. If he needed a hole where he needed the fairway on that drive, that was it, and he did. He hit the fairway, steadied his game when he needed to, even when the haters were yelling choke, and even when Johnson hit that miraculous chip to within eight on number 16. But DJ misread the putt, went bogey. That unnerved him. Bogey again on 17. That meant a three-shot edge for Koepka. Even after he missed a short putt at 17 for the bogey, he was still okay, but he missed the fairway on 18. Again, though, he steadied himself, got the par, won by two. And I'll tell you what, it was one of the interviews I saw later that really swayed me about my impression of the seemingly robotic and curmudgeonly four-time champ. He said things that sounded human, like, you know, it was the most emotion he's ever felt on the golf course, and that win meant more to him than any win he's ever had. So, yeah, I'm kind of swaying towards Koepka. You go, Brooks. I'm a fan. Yeah, I thought I'd never say that. Hey, it's Chris and Harper next. Thanks again to Ken. I'm Dan Kamal. See you next week. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. On me, right?
Thanks for listening to the Sports Insider. Brought to you by Lens on Sports Radio 92.9.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.